One of the things that I find miraculous about the erotic audio world is its transformative power. The ability to dive into this pool, as it were, and discover all kinds of things that were lying there under the surface, maybe, for the individual. And maybe we were shamed into thinking they weren't acceptable or afraid of the criticism that we might encounter, or at least imagine we'd encounter if we asked for the things that we wanted. And for me, like, this could not be any truer. So I don't think I've been shy about coming to these discoveries later in life. I know many of us, especially of my generation, had similar experiences where the conventions of our religion or our community or whatever and dictated what was appropriate sexual behavior, and also dictated what was inappropriate. Since coming into this wonderful little corner of the internet, I've explored all kinds of things, mostly because I heard them in an audio, and that, just like reading, allowed me to entertain a particular scenario and kind of walk through it in my mind vicariously through the audio, right? And of course, this is one of the reasons why reading is so important, because it allows us to have a glimpse into other people's lives, other worlds that are different from our own, and hopefully reflect on, you know, is our own beliefs and practices, you know, is what we're doing really, what's best for us, what's best for our partner, whatever. So how have I changed? God damn. I don't wish my ex any ill will at all. But there are some days when I just wish he could see me now. prior to coming to the erotic audio world, which started for me with GWA, just as it does for a lot of us, and then expanded from there into my real world, my real life, I really had not experienced much of anything sexually outside of missionary silent in the dark ad nauseum. A little oral here and there, but that's it. And there was always a part of me that wanted more and wondered about more. And I don't say this for sympathy, I just throw it out there because I imagine there are probably other women with similar experiences. One of the few times I did gather the courage to ask her what I wanted, in this case, anal, my partner didn't have any experience with that. But I guess he thought he had just went for it, which he did. No warm-up, no lube, no nothing. And unfortunately, it was very painful, and I literally screamed and kind of, I think, involuntarily pulled my body back. And he felt so bad. That was the end of that. And I, you know, was under no, no desire to hurry back to that world again, just because of the extreme pain. And we didn't have the kind of relationship where we could sit and talk about it and say, you know, well, do you want to try again? Or so, the biggest thing, I think, for me, and I keep saying that phrase, so who knows what is really the biggest thing, but one of the big things is learning how to talk about wants, needs, limits, that kind of thing. That's been the most valuable. And I have seen it serve me well time and time again. The emphasis on clear communication. Clear communication and taking the time and making the space for there to be clear communication so that when you find yourself invited to an orgy, you know, as one does, and they say, yeah, just tell us needs, wants, limits. You're going to sit down with the guys that are going to be there and tell them what you would like, what you wouldn't like, you know, anything and everything. And then enjoy. You can't do that without communication, especially with people you don't know. So yeah, communication's been huge. I did have the great fortune to at one time have a partner who knew how to give anal to a woman. And I have since come to very much enjoy that as long as he's not too big. No offense, you guys out there who are bigger, but there's some things that are just not as comfortable or as pleasurable. I'm all about anal done right. And by right, I just mean with careful consideration for all partners involved, for safety, for comfort, for pleasure. And I gotta say, I do like it. I prefer it with a smaller penis. It's just more comfortable. There's that. I had never experienced before doing erotic audio. I never experienced any sex in public, which, not public, like with all party consent public. So like going to an event where you know everyone is of age and understands, you know, what they're getting into when they walk into this space, that kind of public. The public sex with the risk of getting caught has its own allure as well. But of course, I wouldn't want to subject anybody to seeing that if it's not something they wanted to see. But if everybody wants to see it, fuck yes. Fuck yes. The things I have done in a room full of over 100 people, I have let myself be flogged naked in front of over 100 people. I've had sex in front of other people. I've given a guy oral in front of a lot of people. I've just all the things. And I never would have experimented with any of that had it not been for these experiences. So, yeah, GWA and subsequent experiences have exposed me to a lot of things. So prior to GWA, never had anal, never had a threesome, never kissed a woman, all of which has since happened. And I don't know why I get all shy talking about it. I'm just sitting here at my kitchen table. But it's like, shh, don't tell anybody, but I was in a threesome and I kissed a girl and I liked it. I don't know, and sort of coming off of that, I don't know really about my own sexuality. I don't think it's anything really. I think most psychologists would say, and I'm not a psychologist, but I think most would say that the difference between the way we conceive of gender 40 years ago and today is that when I was growing up, there was no choice, right? The choices that society had decided were available were male and female. And if you were in a very, very liberal, open-minded community, you could be a gay man, right? But that came with dangers, as it still does today. But of violence, of AIDS, of lots of things. And now we're given more choices. In fact, there's a myriad of choices. So it's not that our sexuality, I don't think, has changed fundamentally as a species. I think we've just got new ways of talking about it. And as we have newer and newer ways of talking about it, people identify in newer and newer ways. And so I used to think of myself as straight female. And I think I probably am, but the crazy thing about all this, right, is how could you ever know? Because I spent, 45 years as a straight female. I absorbed all of the social messaging, all of the sexual ideals that come along with being a straight woman, what we should look like, what we should wear, how we should walk, how our hair should look. I almost feel like I could never tell if I weren't. But I think, I'm in the evolving phase. I would say I'm mostly straight, but I have the few experiences I've had with women, I have genuinely enjoyed. I have found them to be erotic and fun and really pleasurable. So I don't know. Does that make me bi? I don't really care about the labels. But I'm kind of flexible in that realm. It depends on the people. And, in experiencing all of these things vicariously through endless, endless audios, which, of course, you have the safety of doing completely anonymously if you want. If you don't want to engage with the creators, you can listen to whatever you want and explore whatever you want, and nobody has to know. I don't know. I found a lot of kinks that I didn't know I had, right? So the public element being one. Spanking being another. Not as punishment, not as, I don't know, but I just, a more playful kind of thing. Oh, yeah. Women, multiple people, recently, orgy. I've lots of amazing things. So is there anything that, I don't know, would be impossible to do? After a couple weeks ago and having this orgy, I would say, no, probably anything's possible within the law. So I don't really think about anything being off limits anymore. And of the kinks that I've discovered, they make sense to me now, right? I don't have any that I look at and go, whoa, where the fuck does that come from? But I'm also an overthinker. I overthink everything. So if I did encounter something at first, like riding one guy and another guy watching and maintaining eye contact. Holy fuck. If you haven't had that, highly recommend it if you are an exhibitionist of sorts. But it makes sense, right? Because I am someone that, you know, has daddy issues, real daddy issues, like abandonment daddy issues. So the more attention I can get from males, the more thrilling it is to me. That makes sense, right? At first, when it happened, when I was literally at this event and having sex with my partner and very physical sex, and we were on a piece of furniture, sex furniture, and he was lying down and I was straddling him and I was, you know, just riding him and I was fully upright. And I literally had kind of thrown my head back and was just sort of surrendering to the moment. And then when I pulled my head back down to go look at him, before my vision came back down to my partner, it clicked with this guy standing there watching. And in the moment, yeah, I went, holy, whatever started lighting up in my brain, you know, I didn't get it. It was a total surprise and it was very thrilling. But upon reflection, you know, what's better than the attention of one man? Well, the full attention of two, of course. So yeah, those are some of the things that I've learned. So for those of you who like the rambly me, there you go. Those of you who are hoping for a little bit more spice, my apologies. I'll try to make it up to you later. Thanks for listening.